Yeah, what's up, nigga?
Should we make it all formal and like who's who? I'm Barnick.
And I'm D Was, or David Wazza.
And I'm Fridge 98.
The Fridge.
And we've also got another team member of Barnick here, Emma, but whether she'll say 2 cents worth or
Eonic.
$1.50 worth.
Totes.
Yeah.
So before we actually started this podcast, we were talking about the feedback which we've received.
Yeah, what's our listeners saying, Barnick? Like,
okay, so here's the feedback today. Wish I had more time. I take it they mean more time to listen to it.
Yeah.
Have to work out how to listen to it in the car.
Yeah, a lot of our fans like want to. I've heard that they keep putting us on replay. So yeah, just keep looping it, sort of thing. It's just amazing the response we've had.
Wow. And to listen with another app, and that actually came up on Facebook, and someone told them to cut and paste the link. And if we had video live, I'm holding up the link at the moment.
Yeah. Upside down though.
http://garnick.podbean.com is where you want to be to listen to us. But if you're listening to this, you already know it.
Yeah, like just a word there. We do want to expand to the app. So any sponsors that are keen to fund with us and get in touch with Garnick there,
and we'll plug you. We'll plug you in the beginning
end. We'll see what we can do. Yeah.
And also, one other person said, and I'm just debating whether I should name them or not, hope they don't talk about me.
I
won't name them. We'll wait till they're here. And then also, they think we sit around in a lounge room and just talk.
Yeah.
Totally a lounge room.
We sit on a lounge. Or some of us lounge around on the lounge. So, and also, someone else has asked, what is geocaching? Well, I explain geocaching to people. It's a treasure hunt where you drive around looking for plastic containers hidden under rocks or in hollow parts of tree or little magnetic mint tins stuck up behind signs or on fences, and they have a little logbook in them. You sign your name on the logbook, you sign your name of your username of a little app you download to play the game. But if you don't have a smartphone, you can just play it on Google Earth or even go and get a GPS.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it means a lot of differences to different people. Like, you know, so some are happy going out with families and, you know, just detouring and collecting traditional caches while to others, it's all about puzzle solving and the challenge of those. Fridge here, he likes the adventure ones, the high terrains, anything with ladders or kayaks or cliff or anywhere where basically there's a high potential to hurt oneself. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think like caching just gets all sorts of people. It's very much like, yeah, you have people that just like events, they don't really care about numbers. People are really into
the social ones, the social caches.
Yeah. There's statistical based aspects of the game too, which depends who you are. And if you're new, then it's not really a big focus, but as you get more into the game, it becomes a bit more of a focal point for people. So,
and I reckon it's one of the other great features about it is that sort of you're never too young or too old to start, sort of thing. So like I said, you got families, you got young E. Arnick here who you know, goes with old daddy to geocache, up to the grey nomad sort of thing. So those retirees who are looking to something to do.
I'm a bit of a practicing grey nomad.
You got the mobile home.
And
so yeah, that's right. So yeah, I sort of like you know, it'd be good to actually, you know, expand, promote the activity sort of thing to those people who may look to for stuff to do. And
there is also child themed caches out there.
Yeah,
and
that's
I suppose if you talk about the adventure side of them or the higher terrain rating, then you're covering a different audience to play the game.
Would you, Fridge, would you call yourself a trad man?
Yes and no. Yeah. I pick them up, but it's not like a big priority for me.
Yeah.
I'll find whatever, but it's not like... And yeah, like I found 800 trads in a day, so yeah, at the end of the day, it's...
You're a bit of a trad man. Yeah. No, that's
but
fine. We've all been there.
I do like multis, so...
Yeah. What about you, Yannick?
I like geocaching because you can do it anytime, anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Mm. And you can always get out with the family and do it.
Mm. Yeah, so
because more than likely, with about 14,000 hidden in South Australia alone, and it's a worldwide game, there's one near you.
Mm.
There you go. So yeah, that's pretty much geocaching in a nutshell. Yeah, I can't read
the hunt, the adventure.
Yeah.
And before, when we were off air, if we want to talk that way, Gridge actually read out. Would you like to share the story you found on Google?
It's
or
more like a Wikipedia definition of what is geocaching. But it's, as defined by Wikipedia, geocaching is an outdoor recreational activity in which participants use a GPS or mobile device or other navigational techniques to hide and seek containers called geocaches or caches at specific locations marked by coordinates all over the world. So for someone like in SA, known as BFE, he found his first 1,000 caches without using a mobile phone or a GPS. He marked them on Google Earth and printed out the page and marked them and went and found them that way. So that was his goal for his first 1,000.
Mm. Oh, it was a goal he set.
So. It was a goal he set, yeah. So.
What, and then he went and got a phone and
then
started
using... Then he went and got a GPS,
yeah.
Yep. So.
Oh, no. Got a GPS. Because
yeah, no,
I was going to say, if you go out and find 1,000 and then you sort of like think, oh, well, maybe I'll go and get a phone and that'll be more fun or something.
So he has a GPS now?
Yeah, he has a GPS now, yeah.
Surely he needs something... Because he started hiding caches, right? So surely he needed to...
He used Google Earth.
Oh, to mark them.
Yeah, to mark them. So, you know, and with over 250 puzzles now.
Because it's interesting, actually, when you go overseas, because I think in China the GPS is banned. And what what they've done actually is there's an offset applied to it sort of thing. So when you look at caches in China... It's almost like there's a 22 meter sort of offset in a certain direction. And the geocaching app actually shows it like mapped incorrectly, but Cachely must have that correction already applied to it. So it actually looks good on Cachely. So, I guess it's sort of like, yeah, different ways to play different, you know. So GPS over there is sort of can't sort of thing really have, so.
Actually, I still class myself a newbie, and when I first started, someone said to me, if I didn't find it where the app or the compass was pointing, if you're using the compass on your phone, I prefer to use the little blue line, I find the compass miles inaccurate.
Mm.
They always said, I can't remember now whether it was a 5 meter or a 10 meter north. So if you don't find it at ground zero, to then search up to 10 metres in a northerly direction.
Is that right?
Northerly?
Yeah.
Oh, I just...
Yeah.
Why is that? Why north?
I don't know, but that's what someone said. So that was what I started doing. And then after a while, I'm there, which way is north? So just do a big circle and
that's
keep
right.
going round and round.
Mm.
Once you've found quite a few, you get to get a pretty good idea of what to look for. Like it's not. It does. It tends to become less difficult, I think, as time goes on. But
yes, and no.
But then there's always that one you go to look for, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's just a lot harder.
Anything that I can't find is not there. So.
No. Well, hang on. So anything you don't find, Fridge, you're phoning a friend, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then even when you don't find it after then. You still don't log a DNF, so you know.
Nah, DNF, that should just be removed.
So a DNF is a did not find, so it's basically telling everyone that you had a look and don't believe, yeah, it doesn't necessarily believe it's missing, it's just that you know, you just maybe can't find a poor search of that particular
day. And if multiple people come along and log a DNF, then probably the person that put it out there should go and check if it's still there. So,
but you take that as a bit of an ego hit, don't you, for like posting your DNF? And then, so is that what, one of the reasons you don't post a DNF, Fridge?
Yeah, I don't like the blue smiley faces on the map, to be honest.
Well, how about you, Barnick, sort of thing? You know,
sometimes I will log a DNF, only like so I know where to go back to and continue my search. Kind of like pinpoints it, but I always write in the log that, you know, light was fading or batteries were flat or, you know, after finding, you know, several others earlier on in the day, it was time to, you know.
I don't think DNFs are something to be scared of. It's just, as a matter of fact, it's a fact that you had a look and couldn't find, and, you know.
I know I put a DNF on somebody's cache one time, and it was a rather tricky one, and they come up to me and said, you know, you've hexed that, you've put the DNF on that, and no one's even attempting to go and find it.
Oh.
So then, you know.
Yeah, I think that's
a shame.
See, like, if I go interstate, especially Victoria, like when I go back to Tasmania at certain times of year, and especially on trips, I'm driving along, I've obviously got targets, but might find a few along the way, and it's got DNF, I just won't attempt it. So, I think because there's so many out there on a trip, you're not going to find them all. So why search for something that someone else hasn't found? If they've got like maybe less than 100, I'll search for it. But and someone before that's got quite a few, they found it. But if someone, it's multiple finds, then I'm not going to.
Yeah, if you haven't got the time and you sort of like you just want to get the odd case here and there, I tend to agree. If someone else has marked a DNF on it, I'll sort of like think, well, maybe I shouldn't go look for that.
But yeah, so they always say DNFitis sort of thing, so DNF spread. So, you know, if a couple of people log DNF before you, then they say, you know, generally the next person doesn't really have a good look. They look for a few minutes, confirm it's gone. And it obviously takes someone who's either willing or a past searcher to actually then, or past finder rather, to actually then, you know, break the curse, so to say.
I remember though when I was doing a little bit of holiday caching here, there and everywhere, I would actually look for stuff what hadn't been found for quite a while, like an unloved cache.
Yeah.
And go and give it some cache. Unloved's
all right. Yeah, well that's different.
It's different, because it's potentially still there compared. If you look at a lot of the puzzles in South Australia, you'll get 1 or 2 years unloved.
And seeing we're talking about what is geocaching, one thing I, you know, came across, all the, you know, well, FTF, everything's abbreviated.
Yes.
The find. TOTE, tools of the trade. Now, on the weekend, we were messing around with the word swag. Is that an abbreviation?
No, it's
for
not.
For something called just...
It's not, swag's not, it's just...
Anything. Swag's just, yeah.
Small. Swag. No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Are you going to tell us otherwise?
Oh, we...
Or are you just
trying to deciphered a couple of things, but then I think after driving around and everything else, and I was deciphering different words which started with different letters, so it didn't work out. So I can't remember where I got to that.
Yes. I thought it was like small miniatures and games.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not actually 100% sure. So.
What's it possibly saying?
I'm just having...
We're just fact-checking. Hashtag fact-check. So...
No, I can't.
And obviously Ben is still on holidays because he hasn't joined us tonight.
Yeah, Lakeside Legends is still away. The legend, as they say.
So swag...
He left wank then.
So just coming in. Swag stands for stuff we all get.
Stuff we all get. So it was another abbreviation. So I was sort of like on the track.
Yeah.
And why in geocaching, although is it just setting the trend like everything else these days is abbreviated? So
I think, it just makes, like, today's society is very much making things easier for everybody. So, like, you understand abbreviations, everybody gets them, like, pretty much. So. Like on the my new series, it's I've got bot, B-O-T, so that's base of tree, so there's a lot of that.
And
so.
Boar, base of rock.
Base of rock? Yeah, there's none in rocks. there's a few...
Oh, actually, rocks. I've found a few caches in rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few actually in drilled rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Leave no turn no stone unturned. But I think that might have been the in, not the actual name of a cache.
Yeah.
And yeah, here's a bit of a tip and a bit of a spoiler. Don't be like us and went out looking for a cache and sort of like thought that yes, it's definitely under a stone or under a rock, and we come across this boulder and thought, well, we're not going to be able to lift that, so we're not going to look under there. But yeah, well, the outside of the boulder was there, the inside of the boulder wasn't there, and that's where the container was. So
is that one that's that's just around here, isn't it? There's a multi that's like a rock and a hard place or something like that.
Oh, I think that one's disabled, but that's like the edge of Mawson's Lake.
There's a small multi that's around here, actually. It might be a little bit north. But yeah, it was very similar to that. And yeah, so like they're the good ones that sort of, like you said, they sort of change your perspective, so to speak, like or change your bias, as you were saying.
Yeah. Or do you back in because you get to a spot and you try to start moving all the boulders.
Exactly.
It's got to be here somewhere.
did Astro La Vista on the weekend... would say it was the best cache in the state.
What's that?
Astro La Vista.
Where's that?
It's just between Kapunda and Tali.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Did you see the little plastic Freddo, which was inside the cache?
In Astro La Vista?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Ah, well, I actually took that out, placed it on the pipe, that's not saying too much, and took a photo. And we've actually used that for one of the images on one of the episodes of the podcast were published.
Okay.
So,
well, did you think it was good? Did you?
Yeah. I actually did.
Is that a recent one or?
It's 2004 cache.
All right.
Whose
is it?
It's Team Astro. Astros. Oh, so yeah. People say that Gall of Fort Knox, but prior to Gall of Fort Knox.
Oh, really?
Astro La Vista was rated the best cache, and some people still say Astro La Vista. So yeah, on the weekend we were up that way. So.
Oh wow.
The Gawler Fort Knox, I mean, as an adult, you know, I enjoyed that, and young kids enjoy it.
I think it's very much more of a younger...
Yeah. But yeah, I tend to lean towards that too. Whereas you look at Astro La Vista, and I think that's, you know, you probably wouldn't want to take real young kids to do it.
It's not that far in, so I don't think it's a big issue. So for like something like Wow It's Dark in Here, which is a 3K,
you can imagine
in the drains.
Kids in there and the echo and the noise. And
but that gives it that edge.
Take earplugs if you take young kids to do that one.
if you do read the description, you actually are supposed to yell. So when you find it.
Yeah, that's once you've found it. Yeah. But like young kids, they'd just be, you know, give them the red cordial. And
but yeah, but like, or as I say, like, I mean, coming back to, you know, some phenomenal caches sort of thing. So yeah, so I mean, yeah, you get they do range from like small nanos that obviously the likes of Freddo enjoy up until people who carve small rooms outside their houses and open that up for geocaches to sort of public to visit. So... you do find some good stuff. So it sounds like, you know, there's obviously some drain ones, that sort of tunnel ones that obviously you'd never visit otherwise, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I just don't think, but there's those caches in Adelaide that you walk around through the drains and you just wouldn't do that sort of thing without caching. You just wouldn't be that...
Oh.
Like, some people would, in a sense, but... In general, people don't usually.
Yeah, just going to mention that I know a group of people who ride old school bicycles, and they quite often get together and they do the tunnels rides as part of their, if you want to call it an event, it's an event for old school bicycles, because it's best to use a 20-inch bike when they do that than some of the bigger bikes, because the bigger bikes are up higher, your head's up against the roof of the tunnels, so it's more suited to the smaller BMX style bikes.
Oh yeah, 100%. But yeah, like you get some, like I know the one for where I'm stuck in here, like I'm just over 6 foot, and we had to crouch, like just put our heads down to get all the way, because it's probably about 5'10" or so, but the roof, so. But that's quite good. I think, yeah, caching's very, it depends who you talk to, but everybody plays the game differently. It's,
Surely there's some consistent set of rules, though.
There is a consistent set of rules that, you know, people still twist and bend for whatever reason. But at the end of the day, everybody, yeah, the aim is to find caches, make your own adventure, so, and do what you like to do. So, you know, there was a post on Facebook in the Victoria group page the other day with some lady was not happy because someone had deleted a log on a virtual cache, and they were like, why are we? We've been here.
Yeah, I saw that actually.
And they didn't meet the requirements in the description. So, you know, the virtual cache, you might have to post a photo or answer some questions about sort of a plaque or something, and they didn't do that. They didn't want to do that. They just logged it because they'd been there. So that's how they played the game. They're only new, so they probably didn't quite understand, but that's just them. And, you know, it's like, you know, do it, find a traditional, but you don't actually find the case. You've just been there, so, you know.
Found the place it could be, but there was a hive of bees or something like that. So, yeah, you don't actually write your name in the logbook or something. But then on one of the earlier episodes, we said a fine is not a fine until your name's included in the logbook.
I guess, yeah, everybody plays it differently, it's each their own sort of thing, so.
No, just it's an interesting comment that people always say a lot, sort of thing, and you know, yes they do, but, and yes, it's just a game. But at the same time, I think people need to take accountability of their own sort of playing style to go, well, you know, is it really, you know...
You think it's more of a get-out-of-free-jail card sort of...
Yeah,
it's everybody plays games. Well, it's, I know I'm doing wrong, but, like, yeah, sort of...
Yeah. So, I'm not saying it's just... Yes, I mean, look, you know, it's like similar to golf, isn't it, sort of thing? Like, there's no umpire, and you know, if you... You know, you take a shot and you miss the ball, sort of thing, and you don't include it. It's like, well, look, you're only cheating yourself, I guess. But yeah, I think sometimes it sort of becomes the norm that sort of, I don't know, it's almost like it'd be nice to have a reset. But anyway, look, this is obviously just a conversation. And to be honest, I think most people don't really care too much. It's like, end of the day, it's sort of as long as you personally enjoy it and out there and geocaching works for you, then so be it. So
probably really self-governed by your own rules or own honesty.
Yeah,
because I mean, how many COs would check a logbook? And normally, you know, if you've got a good cache and everything else, you know, once that logbook's like a year old and all the people have stamped it and the stamps have gone through several pages and all
that's
the
right.
Writing, I mean, it takes you a long time to go and decipher. And I know sometimes, you know, I always decide to make things harder when we go and find stuff. We do a lot of a night time just for the hell of it, the adventure. And then, you know, you're holding a torch and trying to write in this logbook and everything else, and you sort of like think, well, is that readable? Maybe I should just sign a B, you know, and not actually write Barnick.
So when's the Team Barnick stamp going to come out to play?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there was even talk about changing the name, but you start with a username. I think stick to it, even though...
You can change it. Like,
yeah, I know you can change it.
I have another account, and I was requested to... I had to change it, so...
Well, we do have over 1,000 caches with Barnick in it.
Yeah, so if they change it,
like,
now, then it's sort of have to, like, reset, you know.
Yeah.
Then their name's no longer in it.
There's some people that have changed their name to, from, like, you know, whatever, to team or, you know, just change a few letters, but... That's just how people... It's up to the individual.
If we find a decent size cache...
For someone like 3LG, so recently changed her name. Well, they kind of group, went in separate ways. And now Lib changed the name to Liv, so she's just by herself now. But you know, and they've got 13,000 fines. So I think, yeah, as long as people recognise it, I think at the end of the day, then it's okay. So.
Yeah, but then that goes back to yourself. You know what you've done, and you know what you've found or haven't found, and
you're knowing yourself what you're doing and doing wrong. So like, you know, there's people don't solve puzzles. People do solve puzzles. Other people just get finals off other people, like, and that's how they want to play. You know, if that's how you want to play, you play the game that way.
Or you go out with some people and then you come across like a Māori or a puzzle in that same area, and they go, "Oh, I've actually solved it." And then I sort of like think, well, I haven't solved it. Should I add my name? Shouldn't I add my name?
So that's an interesting
name?
One, isn't it? Because
I do add my name, and then I try my hardest to actually go and solve the puzzle.
Mm.
And then I've stumbled across puzzle cases where I've added my name to the physical log, but I've never logged them online because I'm thinking, I'll try to work this out. And when I work it out and get to that same ground zero, then I'll log it.
So I think they're actually perfect examples of the greatness of the game. And then I think this is probably where it comes to, you know, the sort of like people play it differently sort of thing. People feel like they need to solve every waypoint or every stage of particular cases to be able to log it fine, while others are happy going over those. And I do recognise and acknowledge in those instances, there's obviously, you know, a grey area, and people sort of tend to, you know, play to however they feel comfortable with. So, but yeah, so look, for the most part, I think everyone's generally pretty good, and look, I don't think there's any like too many issues, certainly within our South Australian community, which is good. And at the end of the day, certainly with, like you mentioned, puzzles, Barney, that you know, where people may have you know, like want to solve a particular puzzle or that, I think every cache owner in this state want their caches to be solved or found. And so always happy to sort of give nudges and hints to be able to sort of pull people on the right path.
Yeah.
Just as long as specified.
I think we've covered that before too on
that's right.
One of the logcasts that Dr.
Dr. Al mentioned that's right.
That people do want their puzzles solved and give them a message.
I think, like, to start with, it's all like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, nothing will be released. It's all silent. And then once it's found, and people, like, obviously, the finder then helps other people, and then other people just give out the final of coordinates or whatever. But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the CEO is happy to help, so, that, yeah.
So.
Most of the time.
Well, there you go. I think that's pretty much explains what geocaching is and all the facets, some of the various logs that you can post and whether we find or did not find or we're actually talking about today, actually, Gecko J and I, about, like, you know, logs where you may see a cache above and then you know, but you might not have a particular tool or ladder to do it, and you know, is a DNF appropriate in those instances or just a write note?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
So, so write notes, I think, are helpful.
Three choices.
Yeah.
For that, I just leave it and know that I'll come back another day.
Yeah, that's right. Just write yourself a personal note.
Because write note for you personally is only, like, you can't see it.
Yeah.
And then you have to scroll back, so.
Yeah, that's why I was sort of like saying, you know, and then if you do the DNF, as long as you say why you didn't find it or something. But then again, there is some people who will put, "I found it, but we didn't have a ladder, so we'll come back to put our name in the logbook later."
Yeah, that's
or
right.
"I found it, I didn't have a pen."
Yeah.
So that's one thing we didn't mention. If you're going to geocache, take a pen, take a pencil.
Take a backup as well.
Yeah, and take a backup. And I find a pencil's better if the paper's slightly damp. I'm not saying wet, damp.
Well, and especially there's some paper that's actually like that waterproof paper. But then pens actually doesn't actually write too well on it, sort of thing.
I think the stamp is the best because you can just stamp on anything.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day.
Well, some of that like really plasticky paper and it just rubs off like ink.
Yeah, true.
So that's probably.
Or what about a micro Well, that's pretty hard to stamp.
Nano.
Yeah.
I stamp your nanos and just put my name.
Actually, it's hard enough for me to write on a nano.
Yeah, actually, I do write in those because I think like it's pretty much impossible to put your stamp in those.
Stamps are way too big to put on nanos.
Yeah. So, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, that's right. So it's actually a really important one. I actually got into geocaching and I was using that actually as a bit of. You know, running various suburbs or various routes and then just going past a couple of caches here and there. But I would never take a pen or pencil and I'd always rely on a cache find and that having supplied the appropriate sort of utensil or whatever to a writing implement. But yeah, quite a few didn't have that. And so I just sort of keep running on sort of thing. But yeah, I learned quickly to make sure to always have a pen on me.
I know they do say that if you hide one, you know, hide it with a pen or a pencil and a logbook. But then again, we go back down to the nano, that's a pretty small pencil.
Yeah. To be honest, actually, I've gotten really quite slack with some of my hides of recent where they've actually been, you know, small to medium to regular sized. But I'll hide a good notebook and put it in plastic, but I won't bother putting a pen or pencil in there sort of thing because I just tend to think that. You know, yeah, most of the time people will bring their own.
Or after a while, that pen sitting out in the wilderness, it doesn't write, doesn't work.
I think a lot of, experienced people will start to learn, and most people carry a pen or pencil in their car. Any normal person does.
Well, I've sat down with me lighter and grabbed a few sticks and made a charcoal stick and added my name to the log.
Yeah, make a little bit. Yeah, just spit in some mud with a stick. I've seen people.
Yeah, mud, blood.
Yeah, I'm not going to stab. We don't suggest stabbing each other.
Blood brothers, blood. Cache. Well, this has been What is Geocaching and Who's Who? I'm Barnick signing off.
I'm the David Wasler, D Was.
And Grinch 98.
And Eonic.